In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
They couldn't think of a circumstance in which this procedure was the absolutely only procedure that could be used in a given case.
Jack Kevorkian has one main interest, and that's Jack Kevorkian. And his next interest is death. Somebody else's, not his.
The people in the United States are not looked upon as innocent in the eyes of jihadists because these people participate by voting during the election and electing the government. They are just as guilty as soldiers fighting on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I also would like to thank our friends here in the media. May God spare us from all of the bad things they can do to us.
Well, that is an excellent prayer.
I don't know whether to be worried or not. I don't think that any of my close friends or family are on the verge of divorce. But, you know, these things do happen. And the latest research out of the UK, I believe, is that if your friend's marriage falls apart, the chances of your marriage falling apart increase dramatically, up 75%. They're Researchers are noting clusters of divorces in families, friends, extended family, things like that. So should I be worried? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 6th of July. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us to respond to some of this new research showing that divorce perhaps is socially contagious. And then we're going to kick off a four-part series this summer on law and gospel, how to read and understand the Bible the way that the Bible intends to be understood. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC or send us your email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Should I be worried?
You should always be worried, man.
Should I be worried if my brother, I got a lot of brothers, if one of them calls me and says, sad to say, we're getting a divorce?
Well, you know, yeah, there really is a kind of contagion effect with divorce, and that is what the research is showing. So that if people around you are getting divorced, I think part of what happens is that people start to look at their own spouse a little differently and look at their own marriage a little differently and, you know, feel like, well, oh, if it can happen to them, it can happen to me, or maybe I shouldn't be putting up with this or that or the other thing, or why did he put up with her for so long, or maybe it's time for me to change the furniture around a little bit too, you know. A whole train of thoughts can get started in people's minds, and if they're not deeply, deeply committed to their partner in particular or to the institution of marriage in general, some of those people are going to go over the edge.
So how would you explain this, that they can find clusters of divorce?
What seems to be the new in the research that they're showing, I mean, there's always been some finding of clusters, but what seems to be new is that it's not just your friend, but your friend of your friend, you know, that there can be even secondary effects of divorce in your vicinity, of your social circle, so to speak. And so I think part of what's happening is that there really is a mimetic effect, that we imitate each other, right? right? We copy one another to a certain extent. That's part of what human beings do, and we never quite give enough credit to that fact, I think, in modern times. You know, we all think we're staunch individualists, and we're all out thinking for ourselves and doing what we want. But the fact is, we're slaves to fashion, you know, and we also are susceptible to suggestion from things in the environment. And so I think that's a big part of what's going on, is that we don't like to think of ourselves that way, but in fact, we do allow ourselves to be we're suggestible. Let's put it that way. And so, you can always look at your partner and find fault with them. I mean, you know, unless you're married to Jesus Himself, you're dealing with a flawed human being over there, you know, and so you can always find fault with your partner. And so the question is, are you going to overlook those faults, or are you going to you know, sort of dig deeper into them and look for more and more reasons to discard the person or dislike the person or get irritated with the person? That's, I think, really the question, Todd. And so if there's a lot of divorce and separation and fragmentation in your environment, it becomes less unthinkable, shall we say, to say, well, I'm going to discard this guy because I the irritation factor is just more than I can handle.
To a recent social phenomenon that I find perhaps fits within this conversation, one is the divorce party, that is, or a divorce shower, I think sometimes they even call them, where someone's either going to get a divorce or has just recently been divorced, and it's cause for celebration. Maybe not going beyond just consolation, but actually saying, hey, you know, you've come a long way, baby, and giving people a pat on the back. The other one is a little more particular to the church's context. There are some churches, I'm talking here about national church bodies like the Episcopal Church USA, that actually have liturgical rites for, if not consecrating, at least acknowledging and celebrating divorce. Your thoughts there?
Oh, my goodness, Todd. First of all, I've never heard of either one of those things.
Really?
The first one, the divorce party, sounds like something you'd read about in the New York Times. So I guess it doesn't surprise me that I've missed that because I avoid reading that sort of thing. You know, I don't get enough dead fish that I should subscribe to the New York Times. So I don't know about some of these big social things. But the Episcopal Church, you're not slandering these people, are you, Todd? I mean, seriously, the Episcopal Church USA has a liturgical ceremony for divorce? Are you kidding me?
I don't know that they have an official rite. I don't think they've tried to change the Book of Common Prayer. But I do know and have read news accounts of, it's not called consecration. It might be called blessing of a divorce or something like that in individual Episcopal congregations, yes.
That's revolting. That is just revolting. I mean, by what right do they do such a thing? I mean, for a church to go so at odds with the meaning of the sacrament, and it, you know, in a church that has enough sense to be sacramental in the first place, like the Episcopal Church, I mean, if you have sacraments, then you know that sacraments are not invented by people. Sacraments are invented by Jesus. That's the whole point of the sacrament. And it's supposed to give grace. And so the idea that you would stand the sacrament on its head and to claim that this is a moment of grace somehow and that somehow the church should celebrate and bless it. I mean, that's just revolting, really. I mean, and if I were the child of a divorce that had happened in that kind of context, that would be particularly appalling because very few churches actually have ministries for the children of divorce to deal with their particular spiritual needs, which are quite profound. Because if you think about God as our Father, and the image, the whole image of the prodigal son coming home to his father who never fails and who's always there and who's running down the road to meet him, you know, that's the image of Father that we're supposed to have. And then once divorce enters the picture, neither parent can be there in that same unbreakable way as before, because one parent is absent, you know, at least one parent is absent, and oftentimes both parents are less available than they would have been before. So the children of divorce have profound problems, spiritual problems, relating to God as Father and our mother, the church, and those types of images that are parental images. It's very hard for them. And churches really need to be having programs and support services for the children whose world has been turned upside down, you know. And so for the church instead to be blessing the divorce itself, that's really appalling. I hope you're wrong, Todd. I hope you're wrong. I'm afraid you're not, but oh my goodness, that's too much.
One more question. Do you think that there's a celebrity factor in this as well? And I'm thinking along these lines. These people are in our homes every night because we watch them on television or elsewhere and in the movie theaters. And then we find out that even the longest standing Hollywood divorce is very short. Indeed. And do you think that could have a social influence on the contagion of divorce, if you will? About a minute.
Absolutely. Oh, Todd, no question about it. No question about it. Because those are the role models. Those are the heroes. Those are the people everybody's supposed to be copying. You know, like I said, we're supposed to all be radical individualists. But in fact, we're following, you know, we're following People Magazine. You know, the whole phenomenon of People Magazine would be incomprehensible if we didn't follow other people, you know, if we weren't copying, if we weren't big copycats at heart, you know. And so I don't think there's any question that celebrity divorce and celebrity misbehavior generally gives people a kind of green light and takes some of the sting out of it, you know. It's not that it says, you go, girl, go get a divorce. It's just it takes some of the shame that might be there, some of the reluctance that might be there, some of the stigma that might be there associated with it. And when you have something like marriage and divorce and how you treat your spouse and how you treat your children, a lot of those things are really hard to regulate with the force of law per se. And so, therefore, the social environment's extremely important. You know, if you think it matters whether people stay married or whether people have children inside wedlock or outside wedlock, the social environment's very important. And so, you know, it's almost like there's a kind of social pollution that is being spewed out here. It's like we're fouling up the social ecology around the marriage institution. Because all of these things, Todd, you know, you can run them in reverse and say, well, if nobody in your environment gets divorced, then you're less likely to get divorced. If the celebrities are all being upstanding, you're more likely to be upstanding. That's all true as well, you know. And so, but no one seems to be wanting to take responsibility for the health of the social environment in the same way that we insist that we take responsibility for the material environment or the ecological environment, the physical ecology. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, the natural world, we're very tuned into the fact that we have to take some responsibility for the overall picture, but for the social ecology, it's like we're all on autopilot saying, I get to do what I want, and nothing I do matters to anybody but me, you know, and that's just plainly not true.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
You will find a link to Jennifer's blog and website at issuesetc.org. Just click Listen on Demand. When we come back, how to read and understand the Bible, our series on Law and Gospel with Dr. Carl Fikancher. How can a proper distinction between God's law and God's gospel help you better understand God's Word? The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. You can purchase Law and Gospel by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible by C.F.W. Walther.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page and click Share This.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good Theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find Good Theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.